You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dante, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and Katie Whalen, our health reporter, will be coming to us in the last half hour of the show. And in the segments preceding that, I've asked Dr. Ted Brower to come back on. He's got a new show starting on the network, and it starts tomorrow. And I'm honored to be his first guest, and we want to tell you all about the kinds of things that Ted's going to cover. And plus, there's some groundbreaking news that's coming out. When we get into Ted's segment, I'll be talking about the takedown, and you heard me correctly, of that F-16 near the border. And I'm talking the Mexican border, and it is not as it's being reported in the mainstream media. We have a very special guest, one of the best economic analysts in the country, Joseph Meyer, and he is just, he's so good. I just couldn't wait to get him back on, because on the surface, to the untrained eye, it looks like things are changing. And by changing, I mean, it looks like there's an uptick. You know, we have a second home that my wife and I first had when we just got married, and that was quite a while ago. And we've seen that home go up in value in the last 2 years, 2.5 times. And I'm going to be asking Joe about all this. And is the economy really on the rebound, as President Obama is saying? Or are there very, very dark days ahead, and very quickly ahead? Anyway, Joe has a website called straightmoneyanalysis.com. And he has dubbed me to be, I don't know. I think we're going to let that one pass. We may pick that up on another break. Anyway, welcome, and welcome me in joining Joe Meyer to the show. Joseph, thanks for joining us. I know it's late back east, but we've changed our hours. So you got to be feeling like you're a little more refreshed and no toothpicks in the eyes. And we backed up our show about 2 hours to accommodate our East Coast audience. So anyway, welcome to the show. And what about it? I mean, in my former home that we still own in Central Phoenix, the value of that home in the last couple of years has gone up more than double. Should I be rejoicing at our good fortune?
Well, I think you should be rejoicing in your good fortune, but I think it's a temporary situation, Dave. I don't think these markets can continue to do what they have in the past. And I think we're long overdue for a correction, not only in real estate, but in the equity markets as well.
Well, where is this going to head? I mean, you know, I'm wondering if I shouldn't sell the property now while it's at its peak. I mean, how quickly is this all going to unravel? Let's just stick with the housing market for a second.
Well, I think the housing market has had a very nice rebound from a very deeply oversold condition, but I think you have to keep in perspective that we've had all-time record low mortgage rates, and I think that has been certainly the main ingredient leading to these home prices, certainly going up as much as they have. But at some point, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when, Dave, we start to see mortgage rates and, more importantly, interest rates go back up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking we're going to see, too. And as we look at the horizon of the economy, both domestically and globally, what catches your attention first?
Well, I think when you talk about the equity markets, we have three immediate main concerns that are very troubling to me, and I'd like to share them with your listening audience very, very quickly. I think we have an extremely overvalued market, we have a widely overextended equity and bond market, and we have rampantly euphoric conditions in both of those markets. I think they're telling us that it's an ending rather than a beginning, And as I've said many times, there's four phases to a bull market, Dave. I'd like to share those four phases very quickly again with your listening audience.
Okay.
Bull markets are born, as you know, on pessimism. They grow on skepticism. They mature on optimism, and they die on euphoria. And I think we have to keep in perspective just how far this bull market in equities has been able to rally from the lows we saw, as you know, in March 2009, 6470 in the Dow and 670 in the S&P 500. It's been a tremendous move, and I think it's over and done, Dave.
Oh, boy. Well, let me take that. If this is really over and done, let me take that concept and ask you this question. If you knew of someone who's waiting to turn 59 and a half and they've got that retirement in a 401k and they can't touch it until they're 59 and a half, but let's say they're 50 for the sake of argument, what would you tell them to do with that money?
I'd get out of the market because, you know, I put together, because I respect you so much as a radio talk show host, some indications in some areas, I think, when this correction unfolds in the market, just how far down this Dow and S&P 500 and NASDAQ can truly go. Get out of paper and pencil, Dave, because I did the math on these, and you can write down these levels that I think are ahead of us in the averages. You ready?
I am ready.
All right. In the Dow, it's now 17,946. The all-time high is 18,351. If we get a 10% correction in the Dow, Dave, it would take us to 16,516. If we get a 15% correction, it would be 15,599. And if we get a full 20% correction, it would be 14,681. But I also want to mention the previous 2007 high in the Dow was at 14,164, which we reached on October 11th, 2007, to put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
In the S&P 500, we're now at the level of 2101. The all-time high is 2134. A 10% correction take us down to 1921. A 15% correction to 1814. And a 20% correction take us down to 1708. And in 2007, the S&P hit 1565 on October 9, 2007, to put it in perspective.
Oh boy.
And then the last one is the NASDAQ. It's now 5,080, all-time high, 5,164. 10% correction, take us down to 4,648. 15%, take us down to 4,390. And a 20% would take us down to 4,132. And the old high going back to 2007 was 2,861 on October 31st, 2007. These are some parameters we can expect as this market finally undergoes a long overdue correction that I think is going to surprise a lot of people in the market. They're not expecting it.
What's it going to look like? I mean, to us out here in mainstream America, what's that going to look and feel like when these corrections start happening?
Well, you know, the last show we did together was April 15th, and we talked about the markets being frothy, and we talked about the upside being very limited and the downside being very great.
Mm-hmm.
And in that show, we also spoke of using any further rally in which to raise cash and reduce exposure in the markets. And looking back on that date in April 15th, 2015, that was a pretty good call on the markets because the upside moving from that date forward has been very limited. We've had a lot of volatility. And honestly, I think this market now with the latest news on Greece is setting up for a big tumble to the downside.
You think it's going to show up as early as tomorrow when the markets open?
Absolutely.
What kind of correction do you think we could look at?
Well, I think we're going to get initially a pretty scary, deep plunge. I think the markets will attempt to recover. I think the rally will fail, and I think we'll continue to correct down to one of either the two levels that I had given you. But I don't think it's unreasonable after having a market go up literally in a straight line and not having a correction in the equity markets for almost 4.5 years to finally see a long overdue 10 or 15% correction in the averages, Dave. I think it's reasonable.
Yeah. I guess the average person's going to be sitting out there and say, Okay, from the sign of the chest pains for the impending heart attack, and we get a little bit of a warning. How long will it be till we have the warning, which really is the unfolding of the Greece situation, which I expect to hit the mainstream media in a big way tomorrow? How long will it be, do you think, until we see that scenario start to unfold? And where
well,
we begin
I think
to
the
CPI.
Scenario in Greece, honestly, is unfolding as we speak. I think
yes.
The surprise is simply that a deal wasn't worked out over the weekend. I know the Wall Street consensus was that a deal would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other shock to the markets is basically the Greece prime minister now wanting to take it to a resolution and a vote of the Greek people. I think that's certainly something no one certainly prior had foreseen, and I think the Greek people are going to basically go with the prime minister's recommendation and not go any further with the EU or, more importantly, the IMF.
Boy, that has
and then, as we had discussed in the last show, I think Greece is just the tip of the iceberg. I think, honestly, we've got Spain, Portugal, and Italy shortly behind them.
Yeah,
so I think this could be devastating. It could be a breakup of the European Union, and I think Greece will definitely leave the euro, and I think it'll go back to its own sovereign currency, which was a drachma. That's what I believe.
Well, I think there's one more spinoff effect, too, not just the breakup of the EU, but I think it could lead to the breakup of NATO.
Absolutely.
And this is very, very concerning because China is very much beating the war drums, as has Russia. And that would be a great opportunity for them to move on U.S. possessions if we started to see NATO, you know, fragment because of a declining economy.
Can't rule it out, Dave. Anything can happen. As you know, you never know when you turn on the TV in the morning what the news will be.
Well, when this really hits big tomorrow, because you got to remember, we're in the weekend right now. We're in a little bit of a safety lull. But when that market opens tomorrow and this news starts to affect rates, how long do you think it'll be till we see things like panic selling?
Well, I think you're going to get some panic selling tomorrow in the morning. I think a lot of people regret now, hindsight's always 20/20, that they didn't do some selling late Friday afternoon. But people have been very complacent. They don't think the market can undergo a meaningful correction. They think the Fed will always be there to backstop any decline. And I think when you take a look at the way events are unfolding globally now in all these markets, I don't think the Fed is going to be able to step in and certainly have the advantage to turn these markets around as they have in the past.
I think about the members of the Federal Reserve who have to be anticipating a Plan B, Plan C, and so forth. When this really, the poop hits the fan here and we see these major corrections unfold, what do you think the Fed members have done with their money? Where have they put their investments?
If I had the answer to that. Well, I don't think, quite honestly, they're exposed to the equity or, more importantly, the fixed income markets at these levels. But, you know, when you talk about intervention in the markets, people don't realize that the markets have had intervention going all the way back to 1980. And going back to 1980, there was a piece of legislation, and I know you're familiar with it, called the Monetary Control Act of 1980. And basically what that piece of legislation says, and it was an executive order signed by President Ronald Reagan, is the federal government can intervene in any market at any time for any reason. So we've had intervention in these markets going back all the way to 1980. Certainly, we've got intervention on a much larger scale and level today than we had in 1980. But I think when you talk about the beginning of it, it goes all the way back to 1980, Dave. I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, these problems didn't just sneak up on us, but they're here.
Oh, they did not.
And the general public is largely unaware of the storm that's coming their way. If we could project this out for a minute, I want to make this meaningful to the average person that may
okay.
not be able to identify with the economics, but they could identify with the economics of their personal life.
Okay.
What will this start to look like in terms of how it affects, you know, Ma and Pa Kettle?
Well, you know, going back years ago when you and I were growing up, the American dream was to own your own home. I think the American dream now is to be able to retire and retire comfortably, which has become increasingly difficult for the majority of Americans. If the average American getting ready to retire gets hurt in this market, and I think if this market undergoes a bear market, and again, honestly, Dave, I think it's long overdue, I think this market can go down far more than anyone wants to believe, and I think it could stay down there for a long, long time. I think people lose sight of history, as I've said many times in the shows we've done together. After the 1929 peak in the Dow at 381, it took till 1954 to get above 381. It took 25 years. After we saw the peak in the market in 1972 when Richard Nixon won re-election, that peak in the Dow wasn't exceeded until 1982. So it was like a 10-year period of time. So we're talking a minimum a decade, possibly two decades, to see these levels once this correction takes hold in this market.
So we're talking not just a cataclysmic event, but something that's going to stay with us for quite a long time.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Will the Dow go into single digits, do you think? Do you think it'll be below 10,000?
Well, you know, going back again in history, 1 ounce of gold bought the Dow twice. It bought it in 1932 and it bought it in 1980. You know, the Dow, when she bottomed in 1932, was 41. Gold was 42.50 an ounce. When it bottomed in it topped in 1980, we had an 850 Dow and 850 gold. So at some point, I believe in the rule of threes, and I think 1 ounce of gold will buy the Dow again. The question is at what level? Could very well come in $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. 1 ounce of gold by the Dow. And if that is what I think realistically a possibility, we could see this equity market literally cut in half. That's the risk, Dave.
I'm swallowing hard here.
You got to be prepared. You got to have a game plan for that. That's what my newsletter is all about. It tells you how to prepare for these eventualities. That's why people need this information I write about in the newsletter more than ever.
Absolutely. Well, let's pause for just a moment here and let's tell people how they can get a copy of your newsletter.
Get a copy of the newsletter by going to the straightmoneyanalysis.com website. There's a sample issue of the newsletter right on the website. I write a quarterly newsletter. The next issue will be coming out in September. A six-month subscription is $149.95. A one-year subscription is $259.95. But again, because I respect you so much as a radio talk show host, anybody sign up for the newsletter, I'm going to give you as a bonus the December year-end 2014 issue. You're going to get my March 2015 issue. You're going to get the June 2015 issue. And you're going to get a personal 30-minute consultation with me on anything I write about in the newsletter. What do you think of that?
I think that's fantastic. And I'm sure that my listeners agree. Oh, that's awesome. And thank you so much for doing that for our listeners, and we're certainly going to repeat that a couple of times before we let you leave the air. Let me take you back in time, and this may carry over past the break. But I want to go back to April of 2013, because you talked about the relevancy of gold. And in April of 2013, Goldman Sachs told its brokers to have its investors sell their gold short. And then the elite turned around and bought up a lot of this gold at bargain basement prices. Do you think that was kind of a portend of what we're going to be going through here in the immediate future?
Well, I think when you talk about the commodity bull market, I'll say, first of all, it's alive and well, and it's not over, and the greatest gains are not behind us, they're still in front of us. Typically, commodity bull markets, Dave, and you know this, they last on balance 18 to 20 years. I believe this commodity bull is at best about half over, and I think gold here at these levels is an extraordinary long-term buy. Doesn't mean we can't go somewhat lower, but I think at these levels the downside is very minimal and the upside is very great. I think once the Dow and the bond markets start to unravel, we're going to have the equity markets and the fixed income markets go one way, and the precious metals and crude oil prices and energy go the other, Dave. I really do.
Yeah, that's something I really want to get into when we come back from the break in terms of what people should be doing to prepare. But in the short term, in the real short term, should people be draining down their bank accounts and paying off debt and their mortgages? What should people be doing with their bank accounts?
Well, I don't think it's ever a bad idea to pay down debt when you can afford to do it and do it without certainly suffering, you know, with your day-to-day living expenses and certainly curtailing what you're doing with your retirement. I think you want to own your own home. You've got to have a place in which to hang your hat. You have to live somewhere. So I think a home is a very important part of what is ahead of us and what is unfolding. Having said that, I think when you talk about other dollar-denominated assets, I think you've got China, you've got India, you've got Russia, you've got the other parts of the world all in a foot race to get rid of dollars while they still have a good value and buying power. So I think you want to move out of dollar-denominated assets. You want to certainly look at precious gems. You want to look at artifacts. You want to look at art if you can afford to buy it, and one-of-a-kind collectibles. And you want to get away from that fiat dollar. It's not backed by gold anymore. As you know, it hasn't been since 1971.
Right. Well, would you agree that the petrodollar did give the dollar some backing? The fact
yes,
that people had to buy the dollar to purchase oil?
Well, oil, as you know, prior to the petrodollar, could be bought in any worldwide currency. And then Henry Kissinger in the late 1970s convinced the Saudis to only accept payment for crude oil in U.S. dollars, and that's how we became known as the petrodollar. But we're now seeing governments around the world, as you know, buy and sell not only crude oil and natural gas for gold and other currencies as well. But the dollar is no longer supreme when we talk about countries using it to purchase gold and silver, or more importantly, oil and gas.
Is that a function of the BRIC nations?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's what I, at least in my analysis, that's where I see the next war coming from, with China and Russia being at the forefront for these reasons.
People lose sight of the fact that 25% of the world population now is in China. 40% of the world population is now between China and India. These are two economic powerhouses that are not going to go away. People lose sight of that fact. You've got Russia out there holding more gold. God knows how much gold they're holding. And I think the biggest surprise is going to be when China finally announces how much gold they have. I think it's certainly far more than anyone would believe. They haven't announced their gold reserves in the last 7 years, so it's long overdue for them to report how much gold they've accumulated. Honestly, I think they've accumulated somewhere around 20,000-25,000 tons, Dave. I really do. The U.S., as you know, has around 8,100 tons, and the last time China reported its gold, they reported about 1,150 tons. But I think when China announces how much gold they have, then we're going to really see some havoc in all these markets. I think it's
Absolutely.
Going to panic everybody who doesn't own the precious metals, and it's going to be a foot race to go in and buy what gold and silver is still available for sale, Dave. I really believe that.
Exactly.
That's ahead of us.
Well, the balance of power is changing. We're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue. We'll also talk about personal preparation and what you should be doing to prepare for some very dark days with the economy. Stay tuned. Well, you're hearing it here. You're hearing that things are not as we would like them to be, and you need to be prepared. And how bad will it get? Well, one can only guess, but when you combine the economy with what's going on with Jane Helm and all the other factors that we talk about on this show, you don't have to be Nostradamus to figure out that you better get prepared, and you better get prepared quickly, because there may be no 911 to call, no urgent health care. So this is where I talk to you about my friend Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com. Bob can help you get ready for what's coming, and very few of us realize we're most vulnerable at night, and he is still selling his night vision goggles, the PVS 14 third generation auto-gated unit. It's the best unit in the world, and I'd recommend that you give Bob a call tomorrow and talk to him about preparation, not just night vision, but anything that you feel that you might need should society really hit that unravel point. You can go up to his website tonight after the show at readymaderesources.com. Look at the fine product line that he has to offer. And he's been in business for 19 years, so he offers quite a bit. And you can give Bob a call tomorrow at 1-800-627-3809. Again, that's 1-800-627-3809. Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources. And also along those lines, you need to be thinking about your health. Healthcare costs are spiraling. We've seen Obamacare make a tremendous jump. Managed care following suit. It's not getting any better. And this is why you need to try to get in charge of your own healthcare as much as possible. And helping you to do that is our very own Katie Whalen, whose website is FamilyEssentialShop.com. FamilyEssentialShop.com. And she's told you over and over on this show, as she will again tonight, how our health is under attack from Big Pharma. We're taking unsafe medications. We've got sweetheart deals between the pharmaceuticals and the FDA, and they play a revolving door of leadership. One retires from one to go to the other. It all adds up to one thing. We're not as safe as we should be, and our health care is being greatly compromised, and with a declining economy, that can only get worse. So I would encourage you to go after the show to FamilyEssentialShop.com and look at the fine product line that Katie Whalen has to offer, and then give her a call tomorrow after you call Bob, or before you call Bob, but you got to call both of them, 720-630-3111. Again, Katie Whalen's number is 720-630-3111. Well, our special guest is one of the most renowned economists in the country. His website is straightmoneyanalysis.com. And every time you come on, Joe, I end up taking two pages of notes, and I have trouble sleeping that night.
Do you really?
No, listen, I'm not joking because, you know, I'm not bragging, and I'm certainly not an elite in terms of being wealthy, but my wife and I have done pretty well. And we've made prudent decisions. We've made sacrifices to get to where we are, just like so many people in the listening audience. And all this could unravel, and all our hard work and all our good preparation, and even though we've done most things right, economically speaking, through the years, that could all be taken away from us in a moment's notice, couldn't it?
You have to understand one important thing, Dave. You're only going to get one chance to do this right. All the decisions you've made up to this point have been great. They've been good decisions. Now you've got to make one more very important decision to protect what you have. People lose sight of the fact when you talk about money. Gold is the money of kings, silver is the money of gentlemen, barter is the money of peasants, and debt is the money of slaves. Did you ever hear that?
I just did, and it was impressive.
Okay. I think this is an extraordinary opportunity. I think this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I think if you allocate and you take advantage of what these markets are offering, I think you're going to be well rewarded. I think you'll agree over the last decade we've witnessed the greatest transfer of wealth since the Great Depression. And having said that, most people still don't want to recognize that very important fact, Dave.
I agree. Well, let me get right to the point. Should you buy gold? Should you buy silver? What percentage would you buy each? Let's say you had $10,000 to spend, just speaking for a typical person in our audience. What percentage would you buy silver?
60% gold, 40% silver.
Okay. Which is more undervalued right now, gold or silver?
Silver is very undervalued. It's probably the most undervalued commodity on the face of the earth. I think it has tremendous upside value. I think when you talk about what's the potential moving forward for silver, I think it'll outperform gold on a relative basis. You know, the ratio of 16 ounces of silver equaling 1 ounce of gold happens about once every 50 years. It happened 1870, 1920, 1970, projected again 2020. Now, in the last commodity bull, when we had 850 gold, we had $50 silver, we had about a 17-to-1 ratio. Currently, we have about 73-to-1 as the ratio. So silver is very undervalued, it's very misunderstood, it's very underowned, and it's very scarce in the market. People think you can just go in and buy a tremendous amount of gold and silver. There's not that much physical for sale in the marketplace, Dave. Few people understand that fact. That's why if you're going to buy gold and silver, you've got to do it now before the price starts to move.
How long do we have?
Not very long.
Okay. Let me try to quantify that a little bit more. Would that be a week in your estimation, a month, 6 months, 2 years?
Well, if we look at, again, what has happened with gold, as you know, we went from $255 an ounce in 1999 up to $1,930 an ounce in 2011. We've now had a very long and painful correction, and it's taken us down to $1,175 in gold and right around $1,580 in silver. A full 50% correction, when you talk about equities and you talk about markets and you talk about what's a reasonable correction in a long-term bull market, they can be anywhere from a third to half. If we were to see a full 50% correction of the entire move from 255 to 1930, it comes in at 1080, Dave. That's less than $100 an ounce from where we are currently in the market. So what I'm saying is the downside may be $100. The upside will be several thousand. That's why you got to own it.
Okay, that's very well said, very well explained. Let me shift gears just for a second and talk to you about something that I have written about, something I'm very concerned about, and that's the BDI, the Baltic Dry Index.
Yes.
It looks like product is not moving around the world, and this isn't just a domestic problem here in the U.S.
It's a big concern. It's a worldwide concern. I think when we talk about commerce, it's very, very weak. It's continuing to deteriorate. And the Baltic Dry Index, as you know, has had a very long and precipitous decline.
What does that mean overall? I mean, what is going to be the landing impact effect of this?
Well, I think it portends that goods and services and certainly raw materials are not moving around the world to these ports as they once were. I think the underlying economy in a lot of these nations is in extremely poor shape. I think that's what it's foretelling.
Yeah. Do you think there are exceptions to that, such as maybe the trade between China and India?
I think there are exceptions to that, but I think on balance the global economy is in a recession, and I think it could very well be bordering now on a depression.
What happens first? Depression here basically the dominoes fall internationally?
I think that's a possibility, but, you know, China has now been under pressure. The stock market is now approaching a 20% correction from its recent high. If we violate the 20% rule to the downside, it would signal a full-blown bear market in the Chinese equity market. I don't think that portends or bodes well for the U.S. equity markets as well, Dave. I think that's what's ahead of us.
My. You're cutting off all the escape routes.
The signs are there. You know, whether or not you want to recognize them and act upon them, the signs are there. I know people always say it's different this time, but it's always different till after the fact, and then people come back to the reality it wasn't different. And I think, as we spoke about earlier, you've got to have a plan. It has to be a workable plan. You have to protect your equity, you have to protect your life savings, and you have to protect what you can any way you can. The worst-case scenario is we're wrong and nothing goes wrong, and you still protected what you have and you haven't lost anything. What's the worst-case scenario? We get a full-blown collapse and you get wiped out. That's the worst-case scenario.
Well, that's why we're suggesting that you move from cash to gold and silver?
Absolutely. You know, you go back all through history, gold and silver have always been a storage of wealth. Nothing is going to change that. You know, there's a long history in the precious metals, and again, when you talk about the mainstream media and why they're so negative on gold, you know, gold is universally accepted as a currency and, as you know, a storage of value. Nothing has, as I've said, or will ever change this important fact. Gold's price action recently is now parallel with the growth of the money supply. The central banks, and again, you know, this continue to aggressively accumulate gold. Nothing has changed or will change regarding this central bank policy. The amount of ECB and Federal Reserve total debt now runs parallel to the increase in gold's value. Currently, the U.S. national debt is $18 trillion, which would be about 57 times the market value of our gold reserves at Fort Knox. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew it was high. I didn't know it was that high.
57 times.
57 times. And that's assuming that gold's really there in full.
Well, we hope it is.
Yeah, I mean, we're going on faith here. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that says it's not there. I have no idea myself. But 57 times average person, it may as well not be there because we don't have enough to buffer a collapse of this economy, do we?
Oh, we do not.
Oh, boy. You know, I'm going to ask you a couple of redundant questions than the last time you were on, because the last time you were on to now, we've almost tripled our audience.
So I'm sure. Really?
Yeah, we have. It's the time change, and plus just the awareness of, you know, where we're at and who we are now has really attracted a lot of people, and we're very, very grateful for the following. But there's a lot of people that didn't hear our first interview. And so we had actually walked through a few steps that you recommended specifically that people could start doing as of tomorrow to buffer what's coming. And now we're certainly, we're almost, you know, 3 months beyond that interview. Has your advice changed? And if it has or hasn't, can you run us through it real quick, what you tell your friend, your next door neighbor, what they should be doing?
Well, again, I think the markets represent extraordinary risk. I think the upside is very limited and the downside is very great. I think the precious metals represent very, very good long-term value. I think everybody needs to own gold and silver. Having said that, everyone's situation is uniquely different, so you have to act accordingly. I think if you can pay down debt, you most certainly do that, and I think at a minimum you put aside 6 months' living expenses in case we see a problem in the banking system. But I think the economy is weakening. I think it's continuing to weaken. I think when you talk about the Baltic Dry Index, it's just one long-term indicator that's very alarming. But, you know, when you look at the labor partition rate in the United States, it's at levels we haven't seen since the mid-1970s. So we have very, very few people in the workforce. We've got 61% of all Americans living paycheck to paycheck. We've got 36% of all Americans no longer contributing anything towards their retirement plan. And we have over 50 million Americans now on food stamps. What does that tell you? We're in trouble.
Yeah, the good news is if there's a silver lining there, that's more of a generational problem. Oh, I know it taxes your economy immediately. But in terms of what you're going to do with all these people when they hit retirement, can no longer work, and they have nothing to show for it.
Well, you know, you can't count on Social Security, as you know. I mean, they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Going back when Social Security was formed, and I know you know this fact as well as I do, you had seven people paying in for everyone drawing down benefits. You now have only three paying in for everyone drawing down benefits. So unless something's done with Social Security, I think a lot of people that are counting on that are going to get a rude awakening that they're not going to draw down benefits. It's not going to be any money. And I think if we see the problems in the bond market and we see the problems internationally, what's going on more importantly globally, we're going to see a lot of these pension funds, these 401ks and these IRAs get decimated. You know, we're long overdue for a nasty recession, and I've said from day one, this economic recovery has been an illusion. It's been false. This has not been a recovery. We never created decent paying jobs. We never were able to pay down our debt. In fact, we piled more debt on top of what we had prior to 2007 and 8. So I think we're headed for some difficult times. I think if you act and you act accordingly now, you can certainly eliminate a lot of pain and frustration.
Okay.
And I think you get out of the way of this train that's coming down the track, and if you don't, it's going to run you over. I don't think I can tell it to you any straighter than that.
No, I think that's right on the money. But see, this is what the people who didn't get to hear you in April need to hear, in my opinion, my humble opinion, they need to hear this tonight. You know, I've been writing about this. I've been saying,
I know you have,
from the top of my lungs since last November, get your money the heck out of the bank, except for, you know, living expenses and paying your monthly bills, and get it into stuff that'll do you some good, because the day's coming. You know, Joe, you look at what did they do in November that really got my attention? The FDIC and the Federal Reserve and Janet Yellen went to Great Britain, and they practiced widespread banking failures on an international basis involving B of A, Wells Fargo, and the rest of the gangsters. And then you look at what they did a week later with the G20 conference in Brisbane. What they said was, hey, go back to your countries and get legislation passed that says your banking deposit is no longer money. It's an unsecured deposit.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're telling you right there what they're going to do.
Well, the only thing holding these markets together, in my humble opinion, and I've been part of these markets, believe it or not, 50 years. I got into markets in 1966. I was 19 years old. I went up on the street in 1972. I was a fully licensed broker on Wall Street. I was 25 years old. So I speak from having been part of these markets prior. I speak from the history that I've lived through, not history I've read about in a history book. And I am telling you, we are entering unprecedented times, and you better be prepared and you better have a plan. Because you're not going to walk away from this collapse when it sets in, and you're not going to get a second chance to prepare and do what you need to do to take care of yourself and your family. You're not.
You've got your data. You've got your newsletter that breaks your data down in great,
right,
great detail. But here's what we can't battle. You can't battle this successfully, and neither can I. I don't know the way to do it. And I've written about these phenomena. We have a bad case in this country, psychologically speaking, of cognitive bias, where people you know, have this normalcy bias where they expect tomorrow's going to be just the same as today, and if I don't see the walls of my house crumbling, everything's okay, and it will always be that way. And that's the biggest battle that we're fighting right now and waking people up.
Well, I think you have to understand, patience is the rarest commodity on the street of dreams. And if we're patient enough and we understand the bigger picture, and I think when you talk about these markets, we are talking globally now in the bigger picture. I know it's been disappointing for people who've been in the precious metals. I know it's been disappointing for people waiting for home prices to come back down and certainly the equity markets to have a correction. But patients, I think, sooner than later are going to be very, very well rewarded. But again, you have to be willing to take advantage of the opportunity when it presents itself. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Dave. We're never going to see an opportunity like this again. We're never going to see gold prices at these levels. We're never going to see oil prices at these levels. We are seeing a transformation right before our eyes in the living standards of the average American, and he doesn't want to recognize that fact.
Oh, boy, are we ever seeing that. You know, one of the things I wonder about, too, because I am loading up on the precious metals, do you think there'll come a time, as we saw to some degree with FDR, where the government will legislate against the private ownership of precious metals?
Well, I think they can legislate against it, but quite honestly, I don't think anybody will voluntarily turn it in.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's one law to ignore, but do you think that's coming?
Well, I don't think you can rule out anything. I think when you look at these bail-ins with these banks, I think when you look at what took place with Cyprus, which was a wake-up call, and I think when you talk about the preparedness that we're seeing now for an eventual scenario that's not going to be very pleasant, I don't think you rule out anything. But again, are you prepared to deal with any eventuality if it were to happen? If the answer is yes, you're fine, and if the answer is no, you better get educated, you better start thinking, put a plan together, because I'm going to say it one more time. You're only going to get one chance to do this right, and if you don't do it right this one time, you're going to perish, because there isn't any way you're going to come back when this dollar is over and done and it finally collapses. And we form a new currency, and it's going to be backed by gold, and your assets in dollar-denominated assets are going to be worth very, very little, if anything. And people are going to want to do it over, and you're not going to get a second chance. You're just not.
And all they have to do to know that that's coming is to read a history book.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, here's another question I've been looking at and I've been wondering about, and I've wanted to write an article on this, but I've had trouble coming to definitive figures. At what point do we see these economic problems? At what economic unemployment levels? What debt levels do we see these money issues ferment to where it leads to civil unrest and possibly even a revolution?
Well, you know, we had 25% unemployment at the height of the Depression in the 1930s. Had it not been for the start of World War II, we'd have never come out of the Depression. But if you go back and you study history and you look at Germany after World War I and the economy was decimated and the hyperinflation that took hold of the economy through the 1920s, 1923 in Frankfurt, Germany, a one-ounce gold coin bought a whole city block during the Weimar Republic. Do you know that?
No, I did not know that.
That's how much buying power a one-ounce gold coin had at the height of the Depression in Germany.
Well, it's one thing to have it. It's another thing to be able to protect it.
I couldn't have said it any better. You're absolutely right.
Do you subscribe to the notion it's better to hold the actual precious metals than the certificates themselves?
Well, I think when you talk about the paper market, you know, the paper market is not the physical market, and I think people lose sight of that. They look at the paper market and they think that's the gold and silver market. You can't buy physical gold or silver for the paper prices. You try to do it, no one will sell it to you. But when you talk about owning your physical, taking possession of your physical, if you're going to own gold and silver, you have to take possession of the physical. You can't trust anybody to hold your gold and silver. Dave, I think it's a major mistake if anyone is right. thinking of letting someone do that and or has had someone doing that. You got to have that where it's safe, and you got to have that where you can put your hands on it when you need it.
Well, my friend Steve Quayle, when he talks about precious metals, he says, if you can't touch it, you don't own it.
He's absolutely right.
Now, I totally agree with that. Well, let's take this to another area, and let's talk about how quickly, in your estimation, unemployment and what industries will be most affected when we see these major corrections that could come as early as tomorrow.
Well, I think we're going to see unemployment in all the industries. I think when you talk about small businesses on balance, they've never had a rougher time. I think when you talk about things getting worse, you know, you talk about credit. We now have 56% of all Americans now have subprime credit in spite of purportedly 5 years of economic recovery and record-setting Dow Jones Industrial Averages. Did you know heroin trafficking in New York City is at a 20-year high? People undergoing chronic economic stress are now turning to hard drugs. You know that, Dave?
I know heroin usage is up across the country. I didn't know that figure.
40% of all workers in the United States actually make less than what a full-time minimum wage worker made back in 1968, adjusted for inflation. Prosperity for the average working person is nothing more than a cruel joke. And as you know, I've said that many times in my newsletter. I've called it an economic illusion. Here's a statistic for you. The marriage rate currently in the United States is at a 93-year low, even if you include same-sex couples. Did you know that one?
Yes, I did.
The United States has currently the highest incarceration rate and total prison population in the world by a wide margin. 31.6% of American adults 18 to 34 years of age are currently living with their parents. Since 2008, the national debt has grown by over $7 trillion, keeps climbing even higher as we speak. In all the industrialized nations of the world, the United States has the most obese population. Mexico is number two. And lastly, suicide has now actively surpassed car accidents as the number one cause of injury and death in the United States. These are good times for who?
Yeah, I'm fully aware of most of those statistics. And unfortunately,
they're scary when you put them all together.
Do you know where most of that heroin's coming from?
I would guess Mexico.
Well, that's one of the conduits. But the actual heroin itself, it's a direct result of our involvement in Afghanistan.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
Left to the Taliban, left to the old forces there in Afghanistan, they killed the drug lords. And as soon as we moved in and we provided protection, you know, kind of a tit for tat, you give us this terrorist and we'll let you do what you want to do in your fields. That's where this stuff is coming from, and it gets shuttled into the Middle East, shipped by Hamas, Hezbollah to Peru, to the Sanchez Paredes drug cartel, the biggest one in the world, and then makes its way north. And then you get the Mexican drug cartels that are bringing that lock, stock, and barrel into this country. This is something I've looked at extensively, plus I got an inside source at the DEA that's filled
you
me
would
in
know.
On this. This is unbelievable, and I will tell you, if the day ever came, and I don't think it will, where we were to pull our troops out of Afghanistan, you would see heroin production on a global scale cut in half. That's how
Very
big Afghanistan is. Yeah,
Very interesting.
You know what's interesting to me, though? If people are this broke, how the heck are they affording to buy all these drugs?
They rob and steal everything that's not nailed down. That's what I think. They're criminals. They're into crime. Where do you get the money to buy it? It's a good question. They're certainly not able to earn it working one of these minimum wage jobs, that's for sure.
You know what you're describing, Joe? You're describing an unveiling of America, the third world country.
Well, that's what I think it's become. What do you think?
I think we're on the precipice, and in some areas we've crossed over. I mean, our incarceration rates clearly speak to that. Our drug abuse rates clearly speak to that. Our substandard education system speaks to that.
Couldn't agree more.
This is
just
can we turn it around? Never forget, we're the United States. We're the greatest country in the world. We have the hardest working people in the world. We have the most moralistic people in the world. We have the most highly intelligent people, I believe, on balance in the world in all different kind of vocations and industries. We can turn this around. This country doesn't have to stay the way it is, Dave. It really doesn't. We can do it.
Well,
we've met challenges before. We've come through a depression. We won a world war. I mean, we've got the greatest people in the world. We can do it. We just have to make up our minds to take back the country and make the changes that are needed to bring us back to our great stature. It's not going to be
that part I agree with, but is there a point of no return that you can't come back from?
Well, I think we're rapidly approaching it. I don't think we've crossed over it. You know, someone has said to me recently, is the American dream dead? I said, the American dream I don't believe is dead, but I'll say this, it's been very badly wounded.
You know what I see with a lot of young people today, and I'm talking 18, 19, 20 years old, they're content just to get by. The you don't see the hunger, the ambition.
No, you really don't.
Even spurred by greed, we're not seeing that in our young people as we once did. This is what I'm trying to impart upon my son. I'm telling him, if you can learn to work hard, develop better working habits, you're not going to have a lot of competition. Because a lot of people your age and a little older have given up.
Well, I think when you go back and you look at the country you and I were raised in, it was a different time. We certainly had high goals. We certainly had a very strong work ethic. You know, our parents instilled a work ethic in us. A lot of these young people today, for whatever reason, just want to accept anything that comes their way. They don't seem to have a vision of greatness. They don't seem to have a vision to go ahead and excel. They lack motivation, and I don't know the reason why, Dave. Maybe you have the answer to that one.
I think it's learned helplessness, and I come at it from a psychologist's point of view because that's my background. But I think that when you see most of your avenues of escape from negative things diminish and your options get narrowed, people will just lay down and accept what comes. And that's a condition in psychology we refer to as learned helplessness. And I see that loud and clear. Joe, we're at our top of the hour break. When we come back, I want to do a couple of things. One is I'm just going to give you the microphone and let you kind of sum up everything that we've covered here in the first hour in bullet point form. And secondly, I want you to repeat your offer, your generous offer about your newsletter. And then third, there's the third thing. I'm going to definitely have you tell people how they can follow your great work with your website and all that. So anyway, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back here in hour number two, and we'll continue with Joseph Meyer.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.